If you've missed parts of that, that is all on the website. And we intentionally started with some things in that process that had more to do with preparing us to be able to engage the Scripture and to be able to engage God in prayer, starting with silence and solitude and slowing down and looking at all of life as a celebration and finding joy in life. All of those things really prepare us for what we've talked about the last few weeks of getting into God's Word and really growing in prayer. You know, as we start, I'm reminded that as a parent of two teenagers, there are words that I often say in my house that I say more now than I probably did when they were younger, I think. Did you hear me? And to be fair, I have 30% hearing loss in my right ear, so often I don't hear them. Hear them when they respond, and so I ask, "Did you hear me?" I'm looking for some sort of confirmation. But you know that question. I know part of that is teenage years. I was there. I understand, but I a few years removed from that. But as a parent, you have that frustration where, and it's not just true of a parent-child relationship, but in any relationship when we're trying to communicate, you want to know if someone says something. You want some feedback to know that that person has heard you. And we understand the importance of not only speaking our piece, sharing what we want to share, but if for good communication, we understand that there's two-way communication. And we need to have our ears and our minds engaged to really hear one another. You know, we talked about that last week, that when we look at prayer, prayer is the same way. Many people describe prayer as a conversation. And if you think about your prayers, it may be helpful to think about, if prayer is a conversation, do your prayers model a two-way conversation, or is it just you talking at God or talking to God? If we really want to grow in prayer, we need to understand that it's not just, we not only need to understand how we address God, but we also need to learn how to create a posture within our hearts and within our minds that we can hear from Him. And so last week's message and this week's message go hand in hand. Again, prayer is two-way communication, and prayer really is the foundation of our experience of intimacy with God. And I shared a little bit last week, but I'll share a little bit more, that as I've had a growing hunger to grow in prayer, it's because I've grown an understanding over the last few years that prayer is more than me just throwing up words to God, but it is an opportunity for me to be in God's presence and to hear His voice, and really be seeking Him. Last week we looked at the Acts model of prayer, focusing on how we address God, and this was kind of expanding how you might address God, and understanding that there's time of praise or adoration, there's time of confession. This week, appropriate to be reminded that there are times of thanksgiving, giving thanks to God in prayer. And then that last letter, the supplication, is where we bring our requests, our petition to God, or intercede for someone else. All of those things are important, and there's examples in Scripture of all of those type of prayers. But in thinking about the two-way nature of conversation, today we're going to be thinking focusing more so on that listening aspect and the listening prayer, learning to hear God's voice, but also growing in an understanding of God's presence, an experience of God's presence in our life. And my notes just died. Okay, I printed them, so that's good. Just say, I love this device, but it's been acting weird the last couple of days. Today, as we dive into the listening prayer, I'm going back to one of my favorite books in the Bible. I preached a series through 1 Samuel years ago, and it was one of my favorite series I've ever preached. And the 1 Samuel, 1 and 2 Samuel, you hear the story of Samuel, and Saul, King Saul, and then King David, and it's just a fascinating account, and there's so much to, I think, that we can gain there. We're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 3 and look at when God first calls Samuel as a young man. And I want to introduce Samuel. If you read through the first three chapters of 1 Samuel, we know that this is following the judges, and God raising up all this series of judges that would come and lead His people at specific times, and this is a time that the Israel's in the Promised Land, and there's a priest named Eli, who for the most part is a good priest, but he's got two rotten kids. And it's the nicest way to say it. They're crooked. And Eli is not held innocent in the situation because he doesn't stop his sons from being crooked and how they deal with the people. Again, the priests are, think about the role of the priest. The priest is to be a representative between God and the people. And Eli's sons were taking advantage of that position and were crooked in a lot of different ways that we won't get into today. But you have this situation where Samuel enters into this world where God has not spoken for a while. There's a number of places in the first few chapters that talks about the idea of there not being much vision or much of God speaking in that time. But you also have this situation where even the people that are supposed to represent God are not doing a very good job of it. And in the midst of that, you're introduced to a woman named Hannah. And Hannah is described as a woman who is, she's barren and she's desiring to have a child. And she pleads with God. And she asks God, she said, if you give me a son, I will dedicate him to the Lord. Not just in words, but actually give him to serve with Eli in the tabernacle. We'll actually dedicate him to service to God. And so Samuel is born. He's presented to God and actually goes to live with Eli and his crooked sons in the tabernacle. And the scene, what's awesome in the scene that we're going to read a lot of most of chapter 3 today. What's awesome is in the scene where Samuel's asleep, he's right near the Ark of the Covenant. The place where Israel saw God's presence resting. And yet we see just this incredible account of Samuel, who has yet to hear from God. And what we're going to look at today is the first time that he hears God speak. And now, before we look at that, some of you may already be thinking, well, Samuel was a priest or a prophet. How does God speaking to Samuel as a priest and prophet relate to us? I think it's important that we understand that when we look at the whole of God's word and we understand that as a follower of Christ, we have now entered into a unique blessing and a unique privilege of being able to walk in intimacy with God, much like the prophet and the priest did, if not even to a greater level. We understand that when Jesus died in Matthew 27:51, that the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom, and that the earth shook and the rocks were split. I mentioned last week that the idea of the curtain being torn is a picture of the intimacy that we now can experience with God. That instead of only the priests at certain times of the year being able to go into the Holy of Holies and be able to be in that place of God's presence, the curtain being torn gave us a visual picture of what Jesus accomplished on the cross for each one of us. When we put our trust in who Jesus is and what Jesus did on the cross for us and dying in our place for our sin, he took our sin upon himself so that we can not only be forgiven, but that we can be reunited in relationship with God, our Creator. And it's not just to have some future hope, that's part of it, but it's so that we can walk with God in relationship and intimacy now. I'm setting this up to say I do think Samuel, it's okay for us to look at Samuel, the prophet, priest, and in some sense a judge in leading. We can look at him as an example of how he heard from God or in how we might hear from God. And because we know that we have been invited into a new experience of intimacy with God. We see this also in Jesus' own words. John 10:27 said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Jesus expected his followers to hear his voice. And I realize we live in a world in which we minimize that. We try to rationalize that and say that, well, maybe it's God speaking, but maybe not necessarily through a voice. We need to be cautious of minimizing things that are clearly taught in Scripture. We need to be looking at God's word. And when it says that my sheep, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice and I know them, and they follow me," we need to be cultivating a sense of being able to hear God speak into our lives. Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in into him and eat with him, and he with me." Wherever you're at in this sense of understanding how to hear God speak and hear God's voice into your life, I just want to encourage you, as we look at Samuel's account of when God first speaks to him, just to let's look and see what we can learn from Samuel of how we can cultivate a heart and a life that hears from God. Again, we're going to be reading a lot more scripture than normal. It's a longer text, but I think it's important that we look at the whole story. Starting in verse 1 of chapter 3, 1 Samuel 3, says that now the boy Samuel was ministering to the Lord in the presence of Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no frequent vision. At that time, Eli, whose eyesight had begun to grow dim so that he could not see, was lying down in his own place. The lamp of God had not yet gone out. And Samuel was lying down in the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. Then the Lord called Samuel, and he said, "Here am I." And he ran to Eli. And he said, "Here am I, for you called me." But he said, "I did not call you. Lie down again." And so he went and lay down. So there's some, God is beginning to speak to Samuel, but he doesn't yet understand it. And even Eli at this point doesn't understand it. And so he's wondering, he must have heard something in a dream or whatever, but Eli just says, "Look, I didn't call you." He sends him back to bed. It goes on, it says, "And the Lord called again, Samuel. And Samuel arose and went to Eli. And he said, 'Here am I, for you called me.' But he said, 'I did not call, my son. Lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, and the word of the Lord had not yet been revealed to him. And the Lord called Samuel again a third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here I am, for you called me.' Then Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy." And there's some sense that some people think it's because it happened three times that kind of tripped Eli's understanding to think maybe God's doing something here. And it says, Eli perceived that the Lord was calling the boy. And he says, "Therefore, Eli said to Samuel, 'Go lie down. And if he calls you, you shall say, Speak, Lord, for your servant hears.' And so Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood calling as at other times, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" Now, if we're going to look at Samuel as an example in how we can hear from God and develop a listening prayer, we realize the first thing we see is in his words, "Speak, Lord," is that Samuel is attentive, and he has an attentive posture. And too often, this is where today's message is intimately connected to the week that we talked about silence and solitude and the need to slow down. Because our busyness, our crowded lives, and the way that we fill our lives with so many things can cause our hearts and our minds to be in a place where we're not sensitive to hear God speak. And we need to be looking at our own heart and our own lives to say, like Samuel laying there, knowing that God, who he didn't recognize it was God, but God had been speaking to him, he's laying there. You can imagine the apprehension. He's never heard God speak in this way, and now he understands, okay, this is not Eli calling me. So he's laying there waiting, wondering if God's going to speak again. And God speaks again. And Samuel hears him because he was attentive. He was waiting. He was waiting for God to speak. We have to develop in our own lives that attentive posture, a place where we're not just worried about what we're saying to God, that's part of prayer, but that we have times when we get alone with God, that we not only read his word, and we not only express our concerns and our praise to God and confess our sins and all the things that we talked about last week, but that we then also have times where we quiet our hearts, we still our minds, and we wait for God to speak to us. Again, verse 10, it says, "And the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, 'Speak, for your servant hears.'" What I look at that and what that tells me and how we develop an attentive posture, there's two key words, I think, that are helpful here. Expectancy and attention. The expectancy means that when we actually are expecting, when we're trying to cultivate our heart and our mind to be able to hear from God, that means that when we open up God's word each day and we enter into those quiet moments with God, that we actually do that expecting God to speak to us. That we believe that God still speaks today, and that God desires to speak into our lives. I want to ask you, do you when you approach God in that way, do you expect God to speak? Do you go with expectation to say, I'm going to walk away from this time knowing that God has spoken into my life today? I shared a few weeks ago, I think, that when we were looking at reading God's word, that Paul Cope, our assistant DS, who's served in our district for many years, he retired, came out of retirement to serve, continue serving the district. Years ago, I remember him saying that the way he approached God's word every day was he'd make sure he didn't read the paper, didn't have Facebook and all the electronic distractions at that time, but he would make sure he wouldn't look at anything else, read anything else before he got to God's word, and then he would read until he knew that he had heard God's voice for him that day. He would read until he knew that the something jumped off the pages of Scripture, where he knew that God had spoken into his life. Paul demonstrated in telling that as to a young pastor and a group of young pastors when I was starting ministry, of the need to make sure that we're not just going to God's word to prepare to teach or going to God's word to prepare to preach, but that we open up God's word expecting God to speak into my life. The other word, attention. This is, again, thinking of silence and solitude and slowing down that we talked about a few weeks ago. You just ask yourself, have you set aside the distractions? Or are you like that illustration I used weeks ago that Ruth Haley Barton talks about, that our soul is like that jar of stirred river water? And that when we shake the jar, it's like it's cluttered and there's not peace, but when we sit in stillness and calm, and the dirt settles to the bottom, that gives us a picture of how our soul can be still and know that He is God. That we can quiet our hearts and quiet our minds to be able to hear from Him. If we want to hear God speak, we not only have to have expectancy that He can and will speak, but we need to make sure that He has our attention and set aside the distractions. You know, thinking about that expectation, there's a great book. And if some of what we've been talking about over the last couple of weeks, if you've not read A.W. Tozer, The Pursuit of God, it would be a great starting point for you, because it's a starting point. It's deep. It's a book that you can actually read every year and still get something more out of it. So maybe starting point. It's a good place to start and a good place to read every year, continue in. I know when I first came here, you guys had just been walking through a study of The Pursuit of God. But you know that call to pursue God that you see in Tozer is just he has some wonderful insight. And one of the quotes that I found in The Pursuit of God, and talking about how we approach God's word with the idea that God is going to speak to us, I found this quote and I'd like to read it. It says, "I think a new world will arise out of the religious myths when we approach our Bibles with the idea that it is not only a book which was once spoken, but a book which is now speaking." We celebrate the fact that that God's word, we call it God's word because we believe that the Bible is God's word to us, that God has spoken to us. But thank God that the same Holy Spirit that worked through the human writers, that God spoke to them to deliver His word to us, that the same Holy Spirit, when we go to God's word and read it, can use His word to speak to our hearts, to speak to our minds. God is still speaking through His word. So hopefully you have expectation. But you know, beyond expectation and preparing our hearts, I think it is helpful to think about the ways that God does speak to us. And this is kind of a timeout, a little bit of a break from Samuel. And I just want to highlight some of the ways that God does speak to us that we see throughout His word and in our Christian experience. First, and what we've just said, is He speaks to us through His word. Not only does God speak to us through His word, like that, this is where we understand Bible reading and prayer go hand in hand. They're not to be disconnected, because it's often, and probably most often, when we know that God has spoken to us, when He shows us something directly in His word and applies it to something in our life, we know that God has spoken to us. But we also know, and we see in Samuel, and we see many others in Scripture, that they heard God speak audibly. And you know, over my Christian experience, I think people have been nervous to say that, well, God would ever do that. And yet I've had at least a couple moments in my life where it was more than a whisper, where I knew God had spoken very clearly to me. And whether it was an audible voice, I can't say it was audible, but I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God spoke into my life. And when we look at Samuel's example and we look at others in Scripture, if God did it before, he can do it again. So if we surveyed you, some of you have heard God speak in a way that you would have audible. You've heard God speak to you. Most often, people experience what's described in 1 Kings 19:12, that whisper, or a still small voice, that God just speaks quietly to us. And that 1 Kings 19:12 says, in Elijah's experience, it says, "And after the earthquake, a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, the sound of a low whisper." You have that account where there's all these tremendous ways that God might be revealing himself, but God describes himself and revealing himself as being in the whisper. Not in the fire, not in the earthquake, but in the whisper. Many of you have probably experienced that still small voice of just that quiet whisper of God speaking to your soul. God getting your attention through a word. We know through the Scriptures that God will often speak through dreams and visions. Might give you an image in your mind, and that we see this in Joel 2:28 through 29, and later this is quoted in Acts chapter 2. In Joel 2:28, 29, it's describing that day when God's Spirit would come. And God's Spirit would be poured out on his people. And we're told, it says, "And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. Even on the male and female servants in those days I will pour out my Spirit." God is saying in these words that when he pours out his Spirit, there's very specific and powerful ways that God had only spoken through the prophets in the past. God is now going to speak through average men and average women, male and female, no matter, that God is going to pour out his Spirit, and that he's going to speak through dreams and through visions. We also know that God will often speak, and this is how God often most speaks to me, especially when I'm discerning direction and leading in my life, is through peace. It's like we know what God is asking of us. I know for us, when we were wrestling years ago with whether, when I was still in McKeesport and considering a call to another church, we stayed in McKeesport for a few more years after this, but I can remember it was a miserable time. I had been asked to possibly candidate in my home church in Clearfield, and was wrestling with a decision there, and I remember just walking through the Scriptures. And God used the Scriptures to speak to me. I specifically was wrestling through Romans 12, 1 and 2. I knew I was surrendered. I knew I was at a place where I was willing to do whatever God wanted me to do. But in that moment, too, I also sensed a peace. I sensed a similar peace when a few years later, God called me to a place called Warren. And the peace transcended circumstances. It didn't make sense. In my mind, it didn't make sense. And yet I knew God was calling. And so sometimes God will give you a peace that transcends circumstances and what you experience. God will, especially when we're wrestling with decisions and trying to hear from God, God gives us that peace when he guides us. Two other examples of ways that God speaks to us, and this does not directly relate as much to those times where we're in prayer, but ways that I believe God does speak to us in our lives, is through open and closed doors. If you're wondering if God might be leading you to somewhere and someplace and that door shuts in your face, maybe that door is closing because God has another door open for you. And so part of our discerning God's voice and listening for his voice is looking at around us and seeing if there are open and closed doors in our life. But we also have been blessed with the body of Christ. We've been blessed with other believers who we don't have to go it alone. When we're wrestling and trying to hear God's voice and seek God's direction, it's a great comfort to know that we also hear God speak through other believers. And I've had times in my life where God has, apart from me trying to discern God's will on something, I've just had someone speak into my life something that I know was God's word for me that day, that God didn't speak in my quiet time with it was God sent someone to speak to me. And I had to be open to hear from that. So I take this time out to look at the different ways that God speaks to say, God can speak in a lot of different ways. But the question, looking at Samuel's example, are we readily looking and expecting God to speak into our life? And are we really being attentive and expecting God to speak? And do we understand and grow in the ways that we see all the different ways that God can speak to us? The more that we think about this, the more you look back in the way that God has led you in the past and spoken to you in the past, the more you'll also see, because often God will speak to you in similar ways in the future. And so the more that we're in tune with how God has spoken to us, the more attentive we can be to hear God speak into the future. But let's go back to Samuel. Samuel, in verse 10, demonstrates not only that he's attentive, but he also uses the words. He says, your servant hears. Your servant hears. And in that, Samuel is adopting in this conversation with God a posture of being a servant to God. And that he is an obedient servant is saying that he's approaching God in a very specific way. He's not going to God with his demands. He's understanding God is God. He's not. And so if God is speaking into his life, if God is speaking to him, there's something about accepting the role of the servant and being in a place of submission to be able to hear God speak into our life that I believe puts us in a place where God is ready to work with us and use us. I know we talk a lot in this church about the importance of surrender. When we are surrendered, when our hearts and our lives are surrendered to God, and we then expect God to speak into our life, God, I believe, finds joy into speaking into his servants' lives when we're surrendered to him and waiting, looking to see what God wants to do. I believe God invites us to join him in his work. And when we're listening, when we are listening and ready to serve, I mean, again, you see this in Isaiah. You see this throughout people throughout the scriptures that because they were surrendered, they were waiting. They were waiting for, in a sense, a soldier waiting for orders. They're waiting for God to speak and give them direction. God is working, and he wants us to join him in his work. And we need to learn to be listening to God, listening when we walk with people in our community, when we walk with our coworkers, when we walk with our family and we see needs and see different things going on around us. When we take those things to God in prayer and then listen, often God will speak to us, not just something in random, but he will speak to us and give us direction as how he will use us to meet those needs that we see. Samuel demonstrates an attentiveness. He demonstrates being an obedient servant. And God is ready to use this young man. What's it exciting, though, when we keep reading, we see not only does God speak, he goes from just calling his name. He's got a mouthful here for Samuel. And it's not necessarily an easy message for this young boy to then have to bear. But let's go ahead and pick up in verse 10. 1 Samuel chapter 3, verse 10 says, and the Lord came and stood, calling as at other times, Samuel, Samuel. And Samuel said, speak, for your servant hears. Then the Lord said to Samuel, behold, I am about to do a new thing in Israel, in which the two ears of everyone who hears it will tingle. And that day I will fulfill against Eli all that I have spoken concerning his house from beginning to end. God is judging Eli and his crooked sons. And I declare to him that I am about to punish his house forever for the iniquity that he knew, because his sons were blaspheming God and he did not restrain them. Therefore, I swear to the house of Eli that the iniquity of Eli's house shall not be atoned for by sacrifice or offering forever. Samuel lay until morning. Then he opened the doors of the house of the Lord. Now, that phrase is loaded. Again, this is Samuel just got a message that he's going to have to deliver. He's finding out what's going to happen to Eli, the man who took him in, the priest. Can you imagine laying there and thinking about what he has just heard? How is he going to face Eli, knowing that Eli knows that God was calling to Samuel through the evening? says that he came out through the doors of the house of the Lord, and it says Samuel was afraid to tell the vision to Eli. But Eli called Samuel and said, "Samuel, my son." And he said, "Here I am." And Eli said, "What was it that he told you? Do not hide it from me. May God do so to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." Now, in Eli's response, I suspect he knows what's coming. Eli seems to know that there could be judgment in what God was telling through Samuel. In a sense, threatening Samuel to tell him what God had told him. He says, "May God do to you and more also if you hide anything from me of all that he told you." So Samuel told him everything and hid nothing from him. And he said, "It is the Lord. Let him do what seems good to him." And Samuel grew and the Lord was with him and let none of his words fall to the ground. Now, look at Eli's response. When Eli hears a message that he probably wouldn't want to hear. I can guarantee he wouldn't want to hear these words, but I think he knew. Eli seems to be walking enough with the Lord that he knows that he's culpable for not reigning in his sons and confronting his sons. And yet, he hears a very difficult word, and how does he respond to Samuel? It is the Lord. He affirms to Samuel that the message is God's message. This isn't something Samuel dreamed up in his mind. This isn't something Samuel dreamed up in his head. Eli affirms Samuel's report and what he heard and says, "It is the Lord. This message is from God." You know, what we see in this is that not only does Samuel demonstrate how we prepare our hearts and ourselves to be attentive to hear God speak, and how we adopt the role of the servant, being willing to hear what God wants for us. But we also see in this account the importance of finding affirmation from others. The message, the affirmation of the message is important. It's important for us, and this is why I believe in our tradition, we emphasize the fact that God speaks primarily through his word. But when God does speak to us, whether it be an audible voice, a still small voice, or words through another believer, or however it is that God brings his message to us, when we sense God has spoken to us, it is not only important that we understand that God speaks to us through his word, but we need to test what we hear, we think God might be saying to us by his word. God will never give us a word or never say anything to us that is inconsistent with God's word. And so that tells us that we need to not only know God's word, we need to be in the Bible, but we need to make sure that anything that we sense God speaking to us, that we're taking it next to the whole of Scripture and testing it. We also, though, need to, like Samuel went to Eli, understand that often God's speaking into our lives is affirmed by another believer or a group of other believers. And that's why it's so important that we're not only a part of a church, but that you have a group of believers that you can speak to say, you know, this is what I sense God saying to me. What do you think? Now, over the years in pastoring, I've had times where people have come to me and they said, "I think God is telling me to do something," and I'm hearing what they're saying, and I'm thinking, that does not ring true to me. It does not ring true to what the Scripture teaches or what I believe from a pastoral sense would be a healthy action that they were sensing God telling them to do. And I've seen where people were thinking they were hearing from God and they shared something and God's body, the other believers, spoke in and was able to give affirmation or maybe challenge what the person was hearing. I've seen that work for good and I've seen it work for bad. I've seen where people have ignored the feedback of other believers and really made some very poor decisions and isolated themselves from Christian community. And if we're going to be in a place where we're hearing from God and really listening from God, we need to be in a place where we're letting other believers speak into our lives. Having God's word to test and other believers to test what we hear is critical. And yet, you know, with that, I want to leave you with a challenge. And if your desire is to really grow in experiencing prayer to where it's not just you saying words to God, not just that one-way conversation, but you really want to develop a two-way conversation with God where you're hearing God speak, whether it's through his word or through his voice or a small whisper into our life, or a sense of peace of how God is leading us. If we really want to grow in hearing God speak, we need to be willing to step out and begin to practice just quieting our hearts, inviting God to speak, and to say, here I am. Here I am, your servant. Invite God to speak into your life and have some people that you can share what you hear with. And this is an area of growth. This is an area where what you begin to hear, the more that you learn and to hear God's voice and discern God's voice, the more that you're going to recognize it. And so I want to encourage you this week, as we think of Psalm 46:10, and be still and know that I am God, that whatever you're doing devotionally, I want to make sure that you're taking at least 10 minutes each day to not only be in God's word, not only be praying and interceding for others, but that you have at least 10 minutes a day where you're just being quiet before the Lord and inviting him to speak into your life. And have expectancy, knowing that God desires to speak to you. And be ready when God speaks to be obedient to what he tells you. And ask God. One of your prayers could be this week is, God, begin, help me discern your voice. Help me discern your voice and help me to be obedient to what you tell me. And then begin to daily practice in your prayer time, a time of listening for God to speak. Will you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, I am so grateful, Lord, that you do call us. You call us into a relationship, Lord, that it's...